gift. Father's Day was on a Sunday in June, of course, and by that time in the year, Rebecca was spending more time in Willits than Ukiah. She'd be with Phyllis, not Nathan, on Father's Day. A few weeks before it, Phyllis spotted the issue ahead on her calendar. She suggested a plan to Rebecca. They would go to Safeway in Willits, and Rebecca could get Nathan a gift there. Then she could take it back to Ukiah, but hide it, not give it to him till just before she came back up. Safeway was huge for such a small town. It had books and hardware and a travel agency, as well as all the usual grocery departments. "Is there anything he needs around the house?" Phyllis asked as they walked in. She had set the gift limit at $5. "I don't know," Rebecca snapped and made a face. Gift giving, especially to Nathan, was strange. Phyllis had regular food shopping to do and told Rebecca to look for a present on her own. They parted in the aisle with stationery and school supplies. Phyllis said she'd come to find her in about 15 minutes. Rebecca looked at all the pens, wondering if Nathan would appreciate a rainbow set of highlight markers. She considered but rejected paper clips, envelopes, a compass, a Will Clark binder. The French curve looked interesting, but she didn't know what it was for. It was scary to move to another aisle. A man in a Safeway checkered shirt with a name badge on it looked at her, which pushed her over to the plastics. All sizes of containers, oval, round, and rectangular, with lids, were there. She thought her and Nathan's leftovers and tuna salad would be better kept in one of them, better than in a cereal bowl with a plate on top. She lifted a deep round one and its blue lid down from the shelf and pried the lid off. The bowl had a price label on it and smelled funny. She put it back and kept looking around nearby. Even though they used toilet paper, it didn't seem like the right thing for a present. Tennis balls would be good, she thought for an instant as she entered sporting goods, but she froze with not knowing the best kind. His hairbrush wasn't the cleanest, but if she gave him another one, wouldn't that be like telling him so? Then Phyllis found her, and they looked together in more aisles. In seasonal, there was a giant pyramid of mugs with cartoons and messages. The same ones were on the shelves nearby. That way, you wouldn't wreck the pyramid by pulling one out. A heart one and a dad one were nice. She and Phyllis laughed together at the one that said, "If I can't fix it, it's not broken." But Rebecca eventually put each one back on the shelf. "There must be something he could use in the kitchen," Phyllis said when they came to kitchenware. She was starting to lose patience, but then she remembered something she'd forgotten to get herself, so she left Rebecca again, telling her not to leave that aisle. There were all kinds of stainless steel thingies, half in and half out of cardboard boxes and wrapped in plastic. Her eyes seemed to be drawn to ones her father already had. There was a cheese grater. She remembered Nathan holding the one he had strangely to make up for the fact that his handle was broken. There were lots of different kinds of cheese graters, from flat ones to a five-sided tower of grating. Then she saw a grinder. In the photo on the cardboard, it showed one hand pressing the top down while the other turned a handle, and big pieces of onion were turning into little pieces. Around the picture were drawings of all the other vegetables you could chop, slice, grind. Rebecca thought of Phyllis's electric food processor, could hear the snarling noise of its motor as it did this same kind of work. She knew that one of those would cost way more than $5, and she remembered how Nathan would often say he didn't like noisy machines anyway. When the people next door used a leaf blower, he would get into a really bad mood. She pictured him chopping onions on a cutting board. It seemed to her that every time he cooked something, he started by cutting up onions and putting them into a frying pan. She laughed to herself as she could see him doing his same act over and over again. His eyes would be crying, and he would come in to where she was and pretend that he was really sad about something dumb. When Phyllis came back, Rebecca said, "I want to get this, but it costs $4.99, so with tax, it's too expensive." Phyllis's promise to herself resurfaced before she said anything. Rebecca thought her silence meant she was thinking about the money, while Phyllis was actually thinking about the unlikelihood of the grinder working very well or of Nathan even giving it a chance. "Okay," she said, and they added it to the pile in her shopping cart. That night, they found an old shoebox to put it in and wrapped it in sheeny purple paper. Phyllis advised Rebecca to bury it beneath her clothes in her travel bag and hide it in her room at Nathan's. While she was at her father's house, Nathan chopped onions several times. On Tuesday night, he was making rice and vegetables. He came out crying while she was watching the electric company. "My zebra died," he sobbed. 2 mornings later, onion chopping was the first step in making scrambled eggs, and Rebecca was watching cartoons.
"I got an F on my cooking test," he whimpered.
Both times she said, "You dork," and laughed. Friday was the day Rebecca was going back to Willett's. Nathan woke up early as usual and went into the kitchen to make coffee. The purple-wrapped box was sitting on the counter with an envelope on it that read, "Dad." Inside was a folded paper with a happy sun drawn and colored on the outside and lettering on the inside. "To the greatest dad I will ever have, happy Father's Day, Rebecca." A drawing of three hearts. By the time Rebecca woke up, it was already almost time to go and meet Phyllis. He didn't interrupt her getting ready behind closed doors. "Hey, thanks for the present," he finally said when she came out with her travel bag. He went to hug her. "Have you got time for a cup of chopped onions before we go?" "I hope you like it," she said. "Now maybe you won't have to cry so much, and maybe stop making those dork jokes." On Sunday night, he was cooking for himself, tacos filled with vegetables and cheese, before 60 minutes. The first step was to chop onions, then mushrooms. Rebecca would not eat mushrooms even if they were chopped infinitesimally. And he had some zucchini and green pepper. He had half a yellow onion left over, and it was on the cutting board before he remembered the grinder. As soon as he'd seen it on Friday, he had doubts about it. But now he poked its plastic wrap with the point of the knife and stripped the pieces of the grinder away from the packaging. He studied the drawing on the back of the cardboard, then picked out the metal plate recommended for onions. He peeled the outer layer of the yellow onion and cut the rest in thirds before packing them inside the grinder on top of the plate. The top of the grinder had to be held down with his left hand against a spring mechanism, while at the same time he was supposed to turn the handle in the top with his right. The left hand felt awkward doing that, and when he turned the handle, the grinding was very jerky. Soon it wouldn't continue, no matter what he did with either hand. He took off the top and repositioned the partly shredded onion pieces, then put it on again. His hands wrestled with the grinder until it ground to a halt. Fumes made their way to his eyes as if he were still using the knife on the cutting board. Tears poured out of them onto his cheeks. "I'm a dork," a voice inside him said.